The American economy seems to be on the move again. Despite some ups and downs, analysts show growth in many sectors. But one thing that's not growing, the American middle class. In a recent series, reporters from the Washington Post documented problems across the nation. They traveled all around the country, everywhere except the Pacific Northwest. So we wondered how is the middle class in the Northwest doing these days? To answer that, we turn to Seattle Times business and economics writer John Talton.
It depends on which Pacific Northwest you mean. If you're talking about Seattle and the Puget Sound, we're doing fantastically. To be middle income in America today is about $38,000 a year for a family of three. That's pretty low. The median household income for Metro Seattle is about $60,000.
Wow.
And so this part of the Northwest is doing very well. Portland is doing pretty well. If you go out into what Mark Emmert used to call the other Washington, it's facing many of the same problems as the rest of the country, this hollowing out of the middle class.
So what accounts for the Puget Sound region's continued or even growing prosperity?
There are several things. Seattle has very good bones in a diversified economy. We have Boeing, which is heavily supported by the U.S. government, the state government. It's the only commercial aircraft manufacturer in the United States, and it has 80,000 employees here. We have a vibrant trade sector. We are the hub of trade and intellectual exchange and capital exchange with Asia in the Asian century. We're not the only one, but we benefit from that. We're a technology center. We still have a number of what would have been considered in the past middle-class blue-collar jobs, whether they're in maritime or railroads, things like that. Put all that together, and then you have this vibrant city that's attracting talent from all over the world. Now, we may not do very well by Washingtonians in our school system, but we attract all this talent.
I'm talking with John Talton. He is the Seattle Times business and economics columnist, and I grew up in the 1950s and 60s as sort of the solid middle to professional middle class. So what you're telling me means we have a healthy middle class here?
No, I grew up in the same era, even though I'm 27 years old. We have a hollow middle class, the same as a lot of places. In all over America, this has happened. It's just that in creative class centers like Seattle, San Francisco, you have very high-paying jobs at the top, and you have a lot of them. You have very low-paying jobs at the bottom, and you have a lot of them. And what has gone away are the jobs in the middle. Now, this is true all over the country, the
right.
difference being that in a lot of places around the country, they don't have a lot of the high-paying jobs at the top.
One thing that happened, you mentioned Boeing, John. One thing that happened at the very beginning of this year was a ongoing set of negotiations between Boeing and its unions to both get them to accept wage and pension cuts and to get a big tax refund from the state of Washington. And I wonder how this sort of chipping away at the organized labor movement in our region has affected what used to be our middle class.
Well, the 40-year war against unions is absolutely key to the demise of the middle class. Unions weren't the only bulwark of the middle class, but they were an essential bulwark of the middle class. Now, some of the business community has done a very good job of convincing average working people that unions are evil. I get emails and calls from people all the time complaining about writing about unions and how awful unions are. And when I find out more about their situation, they're in a low-paid job they hate. And my reaction is what you really need is a union. But that's not the America we're in now.
John Talton is with me. He writes about business and the economy for the Seattle Times. And so I feel a little bit like I'm sitting with the Grinch here since we're speaking just before Christmas. There's a legion of problems that have led to this hollowing out. Is there anything that we can do as a nation to turn this around?
Sure. In the early 1970s, Lewis Powell, future Supreme Court Justice, wrote something called the Powell Memorandum. And he did this for big business. And it was a set of marching orders about how they were going to take back power of what they had seen taken away from them from the New Deal on. And they've succeeded magnificently. So you basically need to start to reverse the Powell Memorandum. You need to revisit trade deals that are more fair to workers and to American companies in America. You have to rejigger the incentives in favor of creating jobs here with all this capital instead of gambling in the stock market or gambling in derivatives. You need to make it easier to unionize. You need to invest in high-quality education, infrastructure, which will not only create a lot of construction jobs but operating jobs. We ought to be retrofitting the suburbs with transit, on and on.
So how doable is what I'll call the Talton Memorandum, since you're sitting here and you're not Lewis Powell?
Well, I live in anticipation, this being Christmas and Advent. So anything is doable. One good thing would be to start offloading the costs of empire. I mean, we've fought two unnecessary wars over the past 11, 12 years. We don't need to be the world's hall monitor. We need to do nation building at home. We need to get back to a progressive tax system. Who will do that? Well, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, it's up to you.
That's your wish for the new year?
My wish for the new year is peace and prosperity for all.
John Talton, thanks so much.
Thanks, Marcy.
John Talton writes about business and economics for the Seattle Times. He joins us every other Monday on The Record here on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.